I am Daphne Kane, standing for Garth in the general election 2021.
You're obviously a sitting MHK for Garth. You were first elected in 2016. So now standing for re-election, the same constituency, what are your main drives? Why do you want to stand again?
For me, I suppose it's all about making the island a better place, making it sustainable for the future, to be the kind of place that I want my children to grow up in and the future generations. And it's all about, it's got to come back to the community, having good jobs, good place to live and work.
Well, you've listed a number of priorities, but your key ones, I think, at the very top, you said were education, the environment and infrastructure, especially with flood mitigation in mind, as well as roads. So if we start with education and we can go on to some others. You were, of course, the children's champion for 18 months and you stepped down after the chief minister essentially narrowed that remit of the role, which you didn't feel was why you were the children's champion. So looking back at that time now, it's been a couple of years. How do you feel about that situation? And do you feel like that stepping away was the right decision?
It has to be the right decision because I think all children need a champion, that we need to drive and demand and prioritise better education provision for children, especially additional needs, for people who suffer anxiety, for people who fall outside mainstream education, not only special needs, special health needs, but also vocational education as well. And for me particularly, early years. So I think we need to do much, much more for preschool education, especially that links into the economy and building a better island that's going to be attractive for people to come here. Because without the economy, we're not going to have anything to pay for all these services that we want to provide. So I do think that there is a link between being able to be a centre of excellence for preschool education, leading into what was certainly around 10 years ago, the Isle of Man was a beacon in terms of education provision. We didn't have Ofsted. We had teacher-led nurture groups. We had foreign language, French and Spanish at primary school level and feeding into secondary. And now, I mean, one of my real bugbears is that we don't have universal provision for a foreign language in Key Stage 2. And I think that, again, that's something where the Isle of Man falls down in terms of fitting our young people for going out around the world and being essentially ambassadors for the Isle of Man, for our education system, and being able to land brilliant jobs and follow fantastic careers.
What about the narrower role of the children's champion, though, prevented you from bringing those issues, those things to Tynwald in the first place? You can do both, can't you?
Well, we could, but and it's a very important group of people to look after, and that is looked after children who are themselves carers. And when the original remit didn't specify that, the original remit was for all children, so 16,000 young people on the island, not a couple of hundred. And I found that when I was children's champion, more correspondence, more workload probably than my own constituency issues came from across the island, from young people, their parents, from teachers, from health workers, probation and children and family court, and all sorts of issues were flagged up to me. It prompted me to bring the No Fault Divorce Bill, for instance, because that has a direct bearing on making things better for any young people in a divorcing couple. So there was the massively wide range of issues, and I wanted to work on all of them and accept all of them and could see the benefits of pushing for better services for children across the board. And I felt when the remit changed, it was almost like it was gagging me not to be able to champion the rights of all children across all services. And while I think it's a very important job, and I wish the current children's champion and previous one well, I think that when I brought my first report and highlighted a whole load of health and education issues that would have been better to be debated, and I was just coming up to the end of my second year, and I really wish I'd gone ahead and published my second report, because I had even more issues coming to light, and especially on mental health issues. And I remember very shortly after the switch, the consultant in children's mental health said that yes, that was a real issue. There's a massive waiting list, and there are certain areas of provision I think that we need a lot more focus.
Well, since you stepped down then, as you mentioned, you brought the No Fault Divorce Bill. What other issues that you said that you wanted to tackle because of you felt gagged by the children's champion role? What else have you been able to do?
Well, I would have been had I not stepped away, because the remit was very specifically narrow, whereas as an MHK, you work for all issues across the piece. I suppose for me, another hobby horse of mine is oral hygiene, oral health of our young people. We are the worst. If you look across Britain, we compare with the most deprived areas of the UK. And that just shouldn't be. And we have a shortage of dentists. And I know that there was the Smile project that was going out into the preschool and primary schools, but it's been hampered or held up because of the COVID emergency. And I just think, you know, I'm fortunate. I have no fillings. You know, I'm over 50 now. I'm probably obsessive about my teeth and looking after them and making sure that my children do. But it saves a fortune. It makes a much healthier, makes you a much healthier person overall. And I want that for everybody. It's such an easy thing to fix. And
so how would you fix it?
Well, it needs effort to go in at those early years. And Public Health had this program ready to go, but I just don't think it's been prioritised. It's fallen down. So we're letting down the next generations of young people who are going to struggle and suffer poor oral health for the next generation. And I just think, you know, that there are things that are fixable and that we should be able to do as a relatively well-off island that, you know, and I just think that we're letting down young people across many areas, not just that. There's the whole area of special needs provision in schools. There's medical and health issues where, for instance, one of my constituents had a Down syndrome baby, and the level of support in the early years, which is absolutely critical in enabling that child to thrive and do better long term, those provisions and services that would be automatic provided in local authorities in the UK are not there, and they're still not here on the island.
Within the environment focus, you've been to climate change protests outside Tynwald. The last one, I believe, in 2019 that you attended anyway. What steps have you taken since then to improve climate change action within government?
I keep pressing. I keep asking questions. It is so frustratingly slow, the rate of progress, both on climate change. We've had consultation after consultation. We have a climate forum, but we don't have actual schemes to benefit people, to benefit households, retrofitting, saving energy, bringing down our carbon emissions, and also benefiting financially everyday people. And it's a very expensive, but probably a whole lucrative business for people to be in. Air source heat pumps fitting, retrofitting, insulation, fitting of chargers for electric vehicles. Where is the incentives, the grants, the support, the education across the board, again, for that whole piece to enable people to make their own changes and benefit and also feed into making the island better in terms of lowering our carbon emissions. So there's the other part of it is in terms of we do now have an agri-environment scheme. But again, is that absolutely right for the island? Because some of the feedback that I'm getting, while farmers are custodians of our countryside anyway, are they doing enough to to encourage when you're saying you're leaving a field to be wildlife? Some people tell me yes, but actually the smaller farmers, this isn't going to benefit, because if they have three fields that they usually put to grain and growing winter fodder, to leave it one as wildlife, then they don't have enough to feed their winter, to cover their winter feeds, so therefore they have to buy it in, and it's just not it's not a viable proposition. So in terms of the Isle of Man, the farmers here have always maintained the countryside. We have an amazing island and wildlife, and you know we should celebrate and enhance our biosphere status by doing even more. And another thing I've been very keen on was biodiversity, and I raised questions about in planning why we weren't encouraging biodiversity net gain, and all for many years we were doing was in trying to prevent biodiversity loss. And I just think the Isle of Man, where we are and what we have, you know, green hills by the sea, we should be green island and blast that out to the world and be a centre of excellence in renewable energy. How slow has that been? Should we have solar farms? Should we have wind turbines? Why are we so far behind everywhere else when we've got all these natural resources that we should be capturing?
Well, they're in Laxey or the Garth area, I suppose. Is this a big issue, do you think, for that constituency in particular? Because, of course, on the East Coast there, you do have wind farms in the distance. You can see evidence, I suppose, physically of those things happening? Is it something that your constituents are talking to you about?
I think it certainly is. It comes up regularly at the surgeries that we've had in a small way, because I think it's mainstream now. I think there is a general acceptance that climate change is real. The Isle of Man has declared the climate emergency. It just doesn't seem to have reacted to that emergency in any swift way. And I salute the young people of the island for doing their campaigning and their protests, because government's been pretty slow to listen, and it's that kind of motivation and these young people demanding action that hopefully will result in real change and real impact on individuals. And at the minute, on an individual or community basis, I just don't see what the Isle of Man has achieved in the 2 years since they declared the climate emergency, and that definitely needs addressing.
Well, just returning to that sort of local area of Garth for a moment. Now, of course, it is home to one of the most iconic structures associated with the Isle of Man. The Laxey Wheel hasn't been turning since 2019. There was a stint in 2020 and it stopped again. Now, Tynwald recently had a lengthy debate about the Peggy and its return to Castletown and the importance of it in terms of heritage. And you spoke very passionately yourself in that debate about how that could happen more efficiently, and the decision was made that Tynwald and government will work with Manx National Heritage to make that happen. Do you think something similar should happen with the Laxey Wheel to get it turning again with Manx National Heritage? And if so, why haven't you brought that to Tynwald?
I think it is criminal that the Laxey Wheel is broken and it won't be turning for at least another year, probably, if it is fixed. I believe there's a motion coming before us in June that puts the funding in place to enable the restoration work and the repairs to be done. But I do question whether we are funding our heritage organisation adequately in order to ensure that they can maintain our heritage. It's all our heritage. It belongs to the Isle of Man and the Isle of Man people first. And we welcome visitors to enjoy it, but there's something gone badly wrong if both the Peggy is not in the Nautical Museum. That's one of my favourite places to visit. I've taken many a journalist there in the 10 years that I was in the Department of Tourism handling media visits. It's a gem. The story in George Quayle needs to be celebrated, and the Peggy does need to return as the centrepiece. But if the Laxey Wheel isn't turning and they have to sell off an asset, a legacy, in order to fund it, then what does that say? And what that gives me huge fear for the future, that are we going to have enough resources to maintain the significant sites that we have, the Laxey Wheel Castle, Russian Peel Castle, etc., as well as the hundreds of monuments and mounds around the island, plus archaeological digs and treasure finds. I'd welcome the fact that there's a new director coming in. I hope that we can have a new focus. And I believe there are some discussions going on between DfE and Treasury in terms of reviewing the funding model for Manx National Heritage. And I think that for all our futures, that is essential. And also a little shout out for the heritage transport as well. We are so privileged on the Isle of Man that we have all these amazing attractions and Victorian attractions that are just not something you'd find anywhere. The uniqueness of the Isle of Man is the combination of all these things, and we really must fight to ensure that they are maintained, along with Celtic crosses. You know, another one we've got recently in Mackled was the Celtic crosses not being maintained and displayed properly. So there is an awful lot of catching up to do, but I have sympathy with the Board of Manx National Heritage and all the staff there, who I know are all really passionately wanting to do the best they can for the Isle of Man. But again, for the last 10 years, their funding has been reduced. So it comes back to generating and increasing our economy and our income so that we can pay for the services, whether that's footpaths around the countryside, whether it's heritage, whether it's health, whether it's education.
Well, you've just listed a huge number of attractions, areas of heritage or historic interest for Manx National Heritage. You mentioned the word focus. How will you focus it? How will you, or will you give a commitment that there will be focus on particular areas that might be important to your constituents?
The Laxey Wheel is very important to constituents, and it's not just Laxey. There's the wider economy, the businesses, the cafes around Laxey and beyond, and then into Ramsey. They all benefit, lots of businesses, and the independent traders, particularly in Ramsey, also Laxey. But we've got a wealth of eateries, cafes, restaurants, and quirky shops that people are drawn to without the essential attractions, without the railways running, the trams running, going up to Snaefell and going on to Ramsey, those would all fade away. So we would lose the vibrancy of our towns and villages, and they're interdependent. So actually not maintaining the Laxey Wheel is going to have a very negative impact on the economy generally of the east of the island and the north.
We can't talk about Laxey really without touching on the sewage treatment works. This has really gone from one extreme to the other in the last few years. So firstly, where do you stand on where this should take place and how?
I was one of the people who actually registered an objection to the planning application that went in to site the IRBCs on the Cairn site next to Laxey Harbour. And the things that horrified me about it when I looked into the plan were, one, the sheer scale and size, the risk of odour, and the thought that that would forever, in a conservation area, it would dominate the site and potentially ruin it as a tourist attraction and take away the very thing that it was trying to protect. Everybody wants to stop discharging raw sewage into the sea. We have a beach, we have a bathing beach, we've got hundreds of years of history of welcoming visitors to Laxey. Generations of children have been there. But if we are going to deal with and live up to our biosphere status again and deal with the waste in an appropriate way, the top one for me actually would be like Port Erin and Port St Mary. They have pump away option into the IRIS scheme. The IRIS scheme wouldn't work, I don't think, for all areas. But I know that there is serious concern, especially with the odour issues that have been coming out of Ramsey's new sewage plant, that actually to put that in Laxey, and not only have it in Laxey, have the requirement to have a tanker daily emptying the risks of odour and the intrusion and the noise of the tanker itself, but also to put and build a new bridge to service the site.
What is your solution then?
Well, Best for Laxey, which is a group of several hundred of the local island residents, not just local to Laxey, they are looking into and working with us as MHKs and political representatives of GARF commissioners with the Manx Utilities team. They recently went out for a call for sites. We've got to our next meeting next week, and we'll be having the feedback from their research into the options for the future of what an alternative could look like, whether that is a pump away to a combined site for Laxey Bell drying and treatment, or a pump away that joins in at Onchan into the IRIS scheme. But it has to be appropriate. You can't put a solution in that ruins forever the place you're trying to protect. It doesn't work. So I don't have a fixed view, but I am convinced that the planning committee made the right decision when they threw that plan out.
Flood mitigation in particular, you discussed about infrastructure. Now, of course, in Laxey, we've had the floods in October 2019. There's been many floods before. There is a reinforced bridge now. Is that enough? And more widely, what flood mitigation would you like to see?
Actually, I'm going out with a flood officer tomorrow and having a two-hour walk around, all the flood mitigation measures that have been done. The Chief Minister responded to my question in May Timwald with a very detailed answer of how they are meeting all the recommendations of the independent Arup report following the flood of October 2019. There are teams looking at the surface water runoff all around the whole valley, and they're going to do a big modelling exercise to ensure they capture all that information and put flood mitigation measures in. I mean, for instance, the debris catchers that have been put up in Laxey Glen, there are many, many work streams going on. It's hard to keep on top of all of them, but I am confident that the various teams now concentrated, the flood team at the DOI, but also with the local authority, there is hope for the future and in terms of movement on flood reinsurance and some movement, also negotiation to ensure that householders can get insurance if they're in a particular postcode. But the other thing that I'm also really passionate about is infrastructure, because actually one of the biggest complaints from the community is roads, the road condition, the potholes, road safety, road speeds. And I think that is another serious focus in terms of active travel and making communities communities own the highways that they have to cross. So roads, pavements, and also footpaths in the countryside. All that infrastructure, I just don't think has had enough love, enough investment over many years. And that is another area I think that we as an island, we want to take pride in it. We want to enjoy it, especially during lockdown with everyone going out and about. So I think that in terms of community, that is another huge area that we need to put focus on.
There's a lot to do. You've been in for 5 years. Just finally, why should people vote for you to come back?
I would say people vote for me if they agree with the policies and the principles that drive me, and that is wanting a better community, a safer community. We haven't touched on drugs and the drug import and the new regime that needs to come in for that. I think we need to have a serious conversation about where we go with drugs policy. We don't want to criminalise children. We want to make the island safe. We don't want to have organised crime increasing on the island. So I think that there's, in terms of my focus, people should vote for me because I want to make a better community for today's generation and the future generations.